We are. We're back in Ireland and in this good church. We started a church in Rhode Island in 1975 and had a missions program from then till now. And Brother Canavan came with his wife many years ago, and we have supported this ministry from our church for probably 20 years since we met them. We've been supporting them for 20 years. And we're glad to be here tonight, today, and we'll be here for the next 2 months. You folks are gracious. We've met a number of you already. Some of you have known from the past. And we're glad that the Lord's allowed us to be here again. Looking forward to working with Andrew. And we've already had some little projects we've been doing together. Looking forward to working with him in the day-to-day operation of this church. And then preaching on Sunday. You folks have been gracious to welcome us here. We're looking forward to those times that we'll have before and after the service to chat with you and get to know you that we haven't known in the past. And we hope we know every one of you in the days ahead. We'd ask that you pray for us as we adjust to this ministry, and by adjustment, meaning the way you do things here. A lot of the things you do here we do in the States, but we're honored to be here. Privileged to be here. Missionaries are they're our heroes in our churches in America. We thank the Lord for those that leave their home back in America to come to other places in the world. And I know you appreciate your pastor, Pastor Canavan, and his dear wife as they go back and report to their churches. May the Lord give them a time of, it'll be busy, but a time of refreshment and reprieve, and prepare them to come back and serve again here. Their dear people. Now, we've read the scriptures this morning out of John's Gospel, chapter 4. We're going to take our message from this text. In just a few moments, we'll say some things pertaining from this text. But we're asking the Lord this morning to speak to hearts. And we're asking the Lord to give listening ears and hope that you've come this morning to listen to what God has to say. It's not what the preacher says that's important. It's what the Word of God has to say. And yet we know the Lord uses men and uses servants of the Lord to be conduits of His truth. And I want to be a conduit of His truth. I can't say anything this morning that will benefit your life other than what God will say to me and through me, as it's been with your pastor here, Pastor Canavan, week after week. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to turn our attention to this chapter in the Bible, John chapter 4, and take some things I believe would be helpful to us this morning as we look to the Word of God. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this great privilege to be back here in Ireland in the church in which we have grown to love. Thank you for Hope Baptist Church, and thank you for its testimony. Thank you that it's a lighthouse. Thank you that people can come here and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do thank you again for the Canavans and their investment of their lives in this place, in people that you've brought to this ministry. We pray that you'd be with this service now. I pray that you'd be with the Canavans as they travel back to America, and that you'd give them a grace and strength and enablement to do those things that are necessary there. And pray that they have a time of refreshment, a time of being reprieved and encouraged in the Lord. And so now, Lord, we pray that you'd help us as we turn our hearts and attention to this portion of the Word of God, that we would learn some things, that we would see some things that are beneficial to our lives. And if there's someone here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that through this message and through this life that we'll talk about, that they would see their need as well to receive the Lord by faith to be their Savior. We'll look to you and love you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we've turned our attention this morning to the book of John, chapter 4. John's gospel is not without individuals that we could look at to glean from the pages of Scripture to see that God has desire to have encounters with people. If you look on the screen, we're talking this morning about if you look at the title, The Well of Living Water, we're talking this morning about divine encounters that God has with people. And here we have such a person in John chapter 4. In fact, she's introduced as a woman from Samaria. We do not know her name. She is an individual that is anonymous. And sometimes the Lord names people, but there are people in the Bible that God doesn't name, but he uses them as examples. And I hope this morning, as we look at her life and look at what the Lord did for her, what the Lord Jesus Christ did for her. But in way of introduction, the message from God's Word today in John chapter 4 is a universal message to a world that is full of people that have or may sense great needs for something that is within them. They are from all walks of life, all classes of society, and all levels of income. Some are people that have experienced major disappointments and setbacks and broken dreams and broken hearts and broken relationships and broken health. On the other side of life is the amazingly the story of people, multitudes of people that seem to have everything in the world. They have a great job or profession. They have a beautiful home. They have luxury automobiles. They have possessions that others can only dream of. Others that have experienced pleasures of this world in abundance. Yet with all their prosperity and possessions and pleasures, they have something missing in their life. They have a deep sense of dissatisfaction and discontentment. And the truth is, as we look at our text this morning, we have such a person that's before us. As we've already read out of this text, Jesus Christ had left where he was at. He was going from Judea and he was going on to Galilee. And the statement that is made here about the Lord Jesus Christ in his travels is said in verse 6. It says, "And Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." We find the Lord Jesus here in this text. He is really fulfilling a part of the designation and some of the things the Bible says about him that would be a part of his ministry. In Luke's Gospel chapter 4, let me just read this to you. You don't have to turn there. But in Luke's Gospel chapter 4, it says this. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That really is a summation of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that he would have on earth. I think that most of us here this morning know that the Lord Jesus Christ did not have a long life on this earth. He began his earthly ministry at 30 years old. And for 3 years, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled this prophetic word as to what he would be and what he would do for people as he walked on this earth. That he would heal broken hearts, he would give sight to the blind, he would set liberty them that were bruised, and he would preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So here we have in John chapter 4, somewhat of a fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ reaching into a life and doing something for this individual that only he could do. As I've already stated, there are those that had encounters with Jesus Christ in his travels, were people of different backgrounds and vocations and circumstances of life. Some had physical infirmities. Some were possessed by devils. Some would be considered social outcasts. But all had a need of spiritual quickening. And isn't that what the Bible says to us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, where it gives a description of all mankind? He says this, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So here we have here in the route that the Lord Jesus Christ is taking from Judea going up to Galilee, and the Bible says that he must go through Samaria. The interesting thing about the Lord Jesus Christ going to Samaria, it was somewhat of a forbidden place and an unlikely place where Jewish individuals, Jewish nationality would go, because there resided those individuals that would be classified as Samaritans. Samaritans, in the eyes of the Jewish people, were individuals that were that were not acceptable in their society. They were considered to be half-breeds in that they were, some of them were half Jewish and half Gentile, and so they were individuals that were avoided. The interesting thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he was no respecter of persons. The Lord Jesus Christ did not look at individuals as some being favorable in his eyes and some not having favor in his eyes at all. That's the wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ. When he looks at people, he sees souls, he sees individuals that need him and desperately need that which he could only do for them. And I wonder this morning, as we've gathered here to listen to the Word of God, if we could not, for the next few moments, relate to some things in this woman's life that would give us indication that we too need the person that she needed desperately in her life. I think all of us this morning that know Jesus Christ as our Savior would say there was a time in our life in which God had a divine encounter with us. Some day that you got up and maybe you went to church and listened to a message, or someday you had an encounter with an individual that crossed your path and began to reveal to you the story of Jesus Christ. And that day was a divine encounter. And I want us to see the divine encounter in this person's life this morning, known as the Samaritan woman at the well. First of all, let's take into consideration the person of this encounter. That is, this encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ is having with this person is different than the encounter he had in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we're introduced to a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was the Bible says that Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, or he was a master of those, or teacher of the Jews. Here's an individual that was religious. Here's an individual that had the same need that this woman had. But Jesus approached him in a different way, and Nicodemus approached Jesus Christ in a different way. But it reveals something to us. Not all individuals in this world have the same kind of encounter with Jesus Christ. But the fact remains that no person can have eternal life, and no person can have the salvation that's in the Scriptures without having a divine encounter. And here we have this woman. I want to see a little thing, some things about. First of all, there's three things about her that we want to see this morning. In John 4, in verses 6 through 7, it says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied of his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, and there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." First of all, the Bible brings out, and we've mentioned this, that she was a Samaritan. It reveals her race. She was rejected by the Jews because of her not being full-blooded Jewish individual. And she was someone that would be avoided by the Jewish, by individuals that would be of the Jewish nation. And here the Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples and gives indication that we must needs go through Samaria. The Bible indicates here that they went off course and they went to a place called Sychar, and they went there, and the Lord Jesus Christ went there because he knew who he was going to meet there. He knew who he'd have an encounter with, and he went there on purpose. The purpose of this is, we'll look at in just a moment, the purpose was to come to this individual that Jesus Christ would meet her in her condition. He went to where she was at to meet her in her condition. You know, some people think that the way that we have a divine encounter is that we improve our life and we become better than what we've been, and we become a better person. Maybe we want to be a better citizen. We want to be a better father. We want to be a better mother. And so sometimes, as we say in the States, they turn over a new leaf. They have a mindset that I'm going to do better. I'm going to be a better person. And sometimes people think that's the way individuals become a child of God or become a Christian, by improvement, by becoming an individual that is going to keep the law of God or even keep the Ten Commandments. But here the Lord Jesus Christ brings to our minds the fact that he went out of his way. He was on his way He was on his way to Galilee. He went on his way and went out of his way to find this woman. And he finds her at a place called Jacob's Well. The Bible says that Jesus, being wearied, went and sat on the edge of the well. You know, it's interesting. The Bible sometimes talks about Jesus in his humanity, and sometimes the Bible talks about Jesus in his divine nature, or being deity. And this woman was about to be introduced first to the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ as he went and sat on the edge of the well. As he's sitting there, this woman of Samaria comes to him, and knowing that she is a Samaritan, knowing that she is a social recluse, knowing that she is a searching soul, Jesus sits there and waits for her to arrive there. Now, it wasn't by accident he was sitting there. He was sitting there on purpose. You see, this person of the encounter reveals her condition. Her condition was that her nationality would have prevented her from ever having any connection with the Jewish nation. But when Jesus Christ came into this world, the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Was this woman lost? Well, we know by indication, we know by her condition, we know by her testimony, we know by how she was living, it was obvious that this individual was lost. That is, she had a condition that we know, as the Bible describes, she was a sinner. Now, there's some things that we have in common here this morning. We have some things in common because we're humans. We have some things in common because we have appetites. We have some things in common because we have conscience. We have some things in common because we have personalities. But there's one thing for sure that we have in common. We have the same condition. We're born sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing this message. He's come to this individual to have a divine encounter with her. And he's there to reveal the purpose for which he came to have this meeting with her. She could have never known when she got up that morning. And she got up that morning prepared to go to the well called Jacob's Well. Now, she didn't go in the morning or in the evening. She went at noon. The Bible says she went at the sixth hour. She went at the time when it was the heat of the day. She went when the other ladies of the other women of the city were not there. She went there knowing that she would be somewhat of a loner. She would not be there with other people she knew that the ladies of the village would go there and they'd have their fellowship. They'd have their conversation about their families and about everyday living. And she didn't go there. And she didn't go there at that time because, you see, she was a recluse because of the lifestyle she was living. And Jesus brings that out in his conversation with her. But because of the way she was living, she was embarrassed. Because she was a recluse, she didn't want to be seen in public because she thought the ladies would be whispering about her and talking about her because of her lifestyle. But not so with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ went there and sat on the edge of the well, and he's waiting for her to come there. And there's a purpose for the reason, and there's a reason for him sitting there. You see, the Bible reveals to us the person of this encounter, but also reveals to us the purpose of this encounter. And I think this is so significant in the scripture because again and again we find individuals that had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and all of them were different. And that's the way it is with us this morning. If we've had an encounter when we trusted the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, we could probably give a story or give a testimony of the day or the experience in which the Lord Jesus Christ was introduced to us through the scriptures, and we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that our testimony. But we all have, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have this experience of becoming a Christian and knowing the Lord as our Savior and heaven as our home. But here's a woman that did not have that. She didn't have Christ as her Messiah. She didn't have Christ as the hope of her future. She didn't have a future. And so the Lord Jesus Christ comes to that well, and he's sitting on the side of the well. She comes to the well, and Jesus Christ started a conversation with her. And he said this in verse 6, the latter part of the verse says, "Give me to drink." Now, she was somewhat taken back by him asking her for a drink. First of all, she was taken back because of his gender. Jesus being a male, it was not common for males to talk with strangers, especially females. And so there would not have been a conversation between this man and this woman in their natural realm, because it was not appropriate, because it was not natural, but also because of her race. He was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. Samaritans have nothing to do with the Jews. And so she could not expect that this stranger sitting on the well, she recognized him as being a Jew, that he would ever speak to her. But he asked her a question. He said, "Give me a drink." And for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith a woman of a Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." So she says this to Jesus. "Why would you speak to me? I'm a Samaritan, and the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans." And then the Lord Jesus Christ begins to reveal to her the purpose for this encounter. He's not sitting there. It's not accidental that she came there that day. It was not accidental, like, here's a stranger that comes to the well, so I'll speak to this stranger. No, you see, we see the human side of the Lord Jesus, for the Bible says he was weary in his journey. That revealed his humanity. But now he begins to reveal his divinity. He begins to reveal that he knows something about this woman that he's never met before. He knows about her past. He knows about her present. And he begins to unfold this capability of revealing to her about her life. And she's mesmerized. She doesn't understand how this individual, first of all, would speak to her, but she certainly cannot understand why this individual could know so much about her. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." You understand that what we're reading is just a portion. We don't have time to read this whole conversation. But the amazing thing is, this is the longest conversation between Jesus and an individual in the New Testament. This gives something to the reality of how important this was to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was not just a woman of Samaria. She was not an individual just that was living in sin. Here is an individual that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus was revealing to her that he was there to do something for her that she could not do for herself. Now, what was that? What was the purpose of the encounter? Well, first of all, Jesus was to reveal himself to her. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ was there to reveal himself to her. Why? Was it important for her to know something about this Jewish man? No. The Lord Jesus Christ was there to reveal himself to her. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and he that has said unto thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water." He wanted to reveal himself to her. And I would remind you this morning, and I would remind my, there was a time in my life in which I was not a Christian. I did not know the Lord as my Savior. And Jesus Christ wanted to reveal himself to me, one individual. There is a time in your life, if you trusted the Lord as your Savior, there's a time in your life when Jesus Christ wanted to reveal himself. Isn't it amazing that the person that's talking to this woman came into this world about 31 years before this took place? He came into this world, and he was born of a virgin, and the lived a life of, as we'll see in the scriptures, he lived a life of 33 years, and allowed Roman soldiers to nail him to the cross, and then be suspended between heaven and earth, and there he would give his life in atonement for the sins of the world. think of this. How far did Jesus Christ go to get to that well that he's sitting next to this individual that came to get a drink of water? How far did he go? Well, we're talking about going from Judea to Galilee. But the fact is, he came all the way from heaven to earth. He lived 30 years of sinlessness. And now we find the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And he's walking like a human. He's talking like a human. And he comes to that well and he sits there and he's waiting because he wants to reveal himself to a life that is broken and a life that has been empty, a life that has not had any purpose. And the Lord Jesus Christ is revealing something. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world for a purpose, and that purpose was to reveal himself. Isn't it amazing that there's people in the world that do not want Jesus Christ to reveal himself? They don't want him to reveal himself as human. They don't want him to reveal himself as God. And so they shut him out of their life. Now, there are individuals in the Bible that God intended to and God attempted to reveal himself, and they turned away from God. We have those kinds of people in the Bible, but not this one. This one, when Jesus Christ revealed himself to her, she acknowledged that it was him. We see that. But listen to the words of the Lord when he said these. He says, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink." You know, Jesus not frequently revealed himself as being the Messiah, but here he literally reveals himself to her as being the Messiah. But he uses these words, "If thou knewest the gift of God." I wonder this morning if you know the gift of God. The gift of God that the Bible talks about. The gift of God that the scriptures reveal in Ephesians, where it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." You see, Jesus was there to reveal himself, that he came into this world to die for sinners, and those that receive him can have the gift of eternal life. So he came to reveal himself. Secondly, he came to rescue her from her empty life. Jesus Christ came there to rescue her from her empty life. He came to rescue her from her searching life, her sinful life, her solitary life. And when he said to her these words, Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband." And the woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Jesus was there to rescue her from her empty life. The Bible says that he has come to seek and to save that which is life, which is lost. "I am come to give life and more abundant." And the last thing is that he came to reveal himself to her. And then he came to that she would have the possibility to receive the gift of eternal life. The amazing thing is that when Jesus offered her that living water and described it to her in verse 14, it says, "And whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." In verse 15 it says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." When Jesus revealed himself and revealed that he wanted to give her living water, she said, "Give me this water that I thirst not again." The world has always tried to present something that would satisfy the thirst of individuals. Back in the States, we have a soft drink that is known. It's not only known in the States, I think it's known around the world. It's called Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. And I think probably you are aware of Coca-Cola. It's probably one of the most well-known soft drinks in all the world. But you know, they set out many years ago. In 1886, Coca-Cola started having slogans to attract people's attention, to bring them to a place of being thirsty and desiring to discover this way of quenching their thirst and having a refreshing way of satisfying the thirst that we experience. And in 1886, they started with slogans. They said in one of them, when 1904 says, "Delicious is refreshing. Coca-Cola revives and sustains." In 1923, "Refresh yourself." In 1936, "The refreshing thing to do." In 1938, "The best friend thirst ever had." In 1939, "Thirst stops here." In 1948, "It's the real thing." And so these were meant to capture people's attention, that they would see that this soft drink that's offered is something that would refresh, something that would satisfy, something that would give indication of being the real thing. The slogan that has stuck with Coca-Cola all in the last few years is "the real thing." Now, I don't know if you've ever tasted Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is pretty potent stuff. They say that you can wash your hubcaps with Coca-Cola because it has such a strong ingredient in it. I don't know. I've never tried to wash my hubcaps with Coca-Cola, but I have tasted it. But I have to tell you this: when you taste Coca-Cola, you may enjoy it. You may have another. But the fact is, it may refresh your thirst for a moment or 2 moments or an hour. But the thing is, you want to have, in their counting, they want you to drink another Coca-Cola and another Coca-Cola and another Coca-Cola because they're selling Coca-Cola. But when Jesus offered this woman this drink of water, he said, "If you drink of this water, you shall never thirst again." She caught what he was saying to her. Her life that had been empty, her soul that had been empty, the things that had not satisfied, the 5 husbands she'd had and the man she was living, all the things she tried to do to satisfy the brokenness and the life that was hurting inside of her, all the things that she sought to satisfy, those things that she could not satisfy, she understood what you're saying. This man was saying to her, this Savior was saying to her, "Those things that you've tried do not satisfy, they do not fresh, they do not last. But if you take me and you take the gift that I offer you of eternal life through the work that I will accomplish on the cross, you will be satisfied, and it will not only change your destiny, it will change your life." And guess what she did? She partook of it. And the Bible says she left her water pot and went back into the city. And the picture of her leaving her water pot is she left behind her past and she was looking to the future. This woman had a divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and to her amazement, her life was changed. But not only her life changed, but the Bible says when she went back into her city, many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So here's a woman that was lonely. Here was a woman that was broken. Here's a woman that was searching. And she found that individual that came to the well on that certain day, that he was the person in whom she was looking for. She said, "I know the Messiah cometh." And here now she has an encounter with the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I wonder this morning if you take into consideration what wells you have maybe searched out to find satisfaction in your life. Could it be the well of prosperity or pleasure or the things that this world has to offer? One does not have to travel far or experience much to come to realize that the things of this world are fainting and these things are fleeting. And the fact is, Jesus Christ wants to introduce something to us that is everlasting. He offers to us this morning, to those that have not experienced at his well, the well that provides living water. This morning, as you think about your life and think about your past and think about what the Lord Jesus Christ maybe has done in your life to bring you to a place where you've acknowledged your need of the Lord, as your personal Savior. The well of Jesus Christ is a well that is springing up into everlasting life. I ask you this morning, do you know the Messiah has come? Do you know that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost? Do you know Him as your personal Savior, that He desires to give you eternal life? And those that have discovered that the wells of this world are insufficient to satisfy the thirst of the inner man. This morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, after 2,000 years, still offers this living water, this way in which an individual can know and have satisfaction in their heart, knowing that Jesus Christ can forgive sin and give eternal life. Our Father, this morning we thank You for the Scriptures that reveal to us that You desire to have a divine encounter with individuals that are born into this world in sin. And Lord, we recognize this morning that Your Word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand, Lord, that You loved sinners and that You left heaven and You came into this world to give Your life an atonement for sinners. You came to give Your life a ransom for many. We thank You, Lord, for dying for sinners. We thank You, Lord, for offering the free gift of eternal life to those that will trust You as Savior. And if there's someone here this morning that has not done that, we pray that maybe before this day's out, understanding that Jesus Christ came to die in their behalf and to give eternal life to those that will trust Him by faith and repent of their sins. I pray that someone would do that today and that Your will would be accomplished and that someone would experience a divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for recording in Your Word those that you had an encounter with, like this woman at the well, who found life, who found water, living water, that satisfied her soul, and she went on her way to have impact on many other lives. We thank You for the reading and the teaching and the preaching of the Word this morning. We pray now that You'd bless in the closing hour, in the closing moments of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.